Driving through Illinois one summer afternoon and finding no good music on the radio, I settled in to listen to a Roman Catholic call-in show. The woman hosting the program was taking an afternoon to answer questions about Catholicism from non-Catholics, and that sounded interesting. "I'd like to know why Catholics pray to Mary," one gentleman asked. "That's easy," the host answered him. "Jesus was a good, obedient Jewish boy, so he has to listen to his mother. So whenever we want Jesus to do something, we tell it to Mary, and she tells Jesus to do it." I almost drove off the freeway. An acre or so of corn on one side and soybeans on the other were suddenly in grave danger while I tried to drive in a straight line while laughing and shouting at the radio. The idea of Jesus, being bossed around by anyone, even his mother, sounded ridiculous. Besides, as a Lutheran, I'd often asked ministers I'd worked with why the Catholics gave Mary so much extra work to do anyway. Wasn't giving birth to Christ enough? Why did she have to hear prayers, too? Today, although you may not have known it, we commemorate the event known as the Dormition of St. Mary, the day marking the end of Mary's earthly life and her arrival in heaven. St. Gregory Palamas writes in his homily on the Dormition, "If then the death of a righteous person is honorable, and the memory of the just person is celebrated with songs of praise, how much more ought we to honor with great praises the memory of that holiest of saints, the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God." Mary's life, though we normally pay attention to only a few parts of it, was of great importance to the early church. Its members looked on Mary as a mother to them all, and her prayers were considered especially effective. Tradition in both the Catholic and Orthodox churches declares that just before her death, the living apostles were miraculously carried to her home from wherever they happened to be preaching, and that she prayed for them all, for their work, and for the church that was then just beginning, before passing from a human life to a heavenly one. And so on this day, I ask you to consider the life of Mary, the example she set us, and the work of all the saints, living or not, in God's service. "Hasn't Mary done enough?" I used to ask. "After giving birth to Christ, didn't she take her own life back? At Christmas, we meet an innocent Galilean girl, newly married, mysteriously pregnant. We marvel at her trust in God when she consents to be Jesus' mother. But at the new year, we put her away with the other decorations and let her son take over the story. We forget something important. You see, my mother knows things about me. Were I to plot to take over the world, as I have grandiosely done from time to time, it's my mother I'd lock up first, to keep her from telling all the secrets, revealing all my weaknesses. My mother knows what I worry about. She knows what I consider the most important things in life. She may forget my favorite meals when we go out to eat, but she remembers all the important things. And what my mom knows affects how she introduces me, how she reminds me to keep in touch with my relatives, what she writes in the notes she sends me. Moms are just like that. And in Jesus' life, Mary was no bit player. She had the opportunity before anyone else to believe in Christ because she knew things about him. Since before his birth, Mary had known things about Jesus. The angel Gabriel told her, "Your child is the Son of God." The shepherds who visited the family at Christmas exclaimed that angels had announced him as the Savior. When Jesus' parents brought him to the temple at 8 days old, Simeon declared him a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. As she heard message after message about her son, as prophecy after prophecy came true, Mary thought deeply about him. She was proud of her son in the way that parents can be, but more than that, she saw God in him. In many ways, she became a first disciple because she knew who he was. My question, "Hasn't Mary done enough?" would make no sense to the first century church or to Mary herself. Faithfully seeking God's will, Mary was given a part in God's plan to carry out. And to someone who believes in God, such a task is not an imposition, but an honor. The response it inspires is that God's servant looks for ways to offer more of her life, to serve more fully, to participate more deeply. Mary never demanded her own life back because her own way was not what she had been seeking in the first place. Frederica Matthews Green describes an icon of Mary found in the Roman catacombs. In this fresco, she is praying. She is standing with her hands lifted in the traditional posture known as the orans, or praying position. She is facing us directly, and her eyes are arresting. In this image, Mary is clearly a warrior of prayer and is challenging us to pray alongside her. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, Mary prayed for the new church. She prayed for healing and courage, for peace, and for God's providence. Prayer is one of the most important disciplines of all the saints, and today many Christians invoke Mary or other saints, asking for their prayers to be added to our own about the matters we bring to God. The matter of prayer with the saints deserves careful thought. Considered properly, it is a meaningful and acceptable practice. Considered wrongly, it may lead us in the wrong direction, toward worshiping the saint rather than God to whom the saint's life points. Christians don't pray to the saints, after all, as if they had some magical or divine power of their own and could answer us all by themselves. We pray only to God, but asking a saint to pray with us is the equivalent of calling a group of friends and asking for our concerns to be included on their prayer list. When my grandfather was recently in the hospital, I posted a prayer request to my Facebook page. It doesn't have the elegance of asking prayers here in the congregation, but I was very touched by the number of people who posted back that, yes, we will remember him. We will pray for him. And the idea of praying with the saints works that way. That a circle of people, people we may not know very well, people we may have never met, can pray for each other, can join together in asking God, and it can be effective. Biblically, the idea that Christians who have already passed from this life can still join us in prayer is found in several places. For example, in Hebrews chapter 12, Paul writes, "We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses to our faith." And the words he used suggested those witnesses included every one of God's people on earth and in heaven. In the book of Revelation, the prayers of the faithful dead come to God from under the altar in heaven. Since our faith teaches us to build a community of people who love Christ and each other, we believe we are connected even to believers we never knew. There's a tradition in my family that goes along with this Christian idea that strangers who believe in Christ are just distant family. Every summer that my sister and I worked there, the staff from Fortune Lake Camp came to visit our house. They came in search of Mama Artin food. My mother will feed anyone who walks through the door. It's how we know she cares. Every week or so, a box arrives at camp full of cookies or pound cake or cinnamon rolls, and always a note saying that my mother is praying for the work the staff are doing. And throughout the summer, groups of staff members go to visit her, to share their thanks for what she's already provided and have some more, fresh from the oven. My sister and I love to invite them, sharing that first box of treats of the year and promising that there's more where that came from. And over the summer, the staff genuinely comes to love my mom. And Mary and the church have a relationship like that. Jesus loved his mother, and the people who followed him came to love her too, as she became an adoptive mother to many Christians in the first century church. They honored her obedience to God, and her patient care for God's people. They sought her prayers because Mary trusted that God would hear them. And the church cared for Mary throughout her life until the unique end of that life that we celebrate today. She was to them a confidant, a caretaker, a cook, a faithful woman who had walked with Jesus long before any of the disciples knew him. Today we may love her as well, as an example, as a partner in prayer, as someone well worthy of the ancient prayer the Orthodox and Catholic churches offer her. It goes like this. Under your compassion we take refuge, Theotokos, God-bearer. Do not overlook our prayers in the midst of tribulation, but deliver us from danger, O only pure, only blessed one. Amen.